Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 8th day of March, 2021. So thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest, Vince Henders, Executive Pastor at Redeeming Grace Church of Fairfax, Virginia. And today we are going to be addressing a theme that we have never addressed, at least as a full subject of discussion during the entire program, ministering to those who have aborted their babies. And in fact, we're going to be even focusing more on an even more rarely discussed subject, the men involved in these tragic, horrific, and sinful decisions. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Vince Henders.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
To introduce you to people who have never heard from you before and to refresh the memories of those who have heard you on the program before, tell us about Redeeming Grace Church of Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah, we're located in Fairfax, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. We're about 1 mile from George Mason University, the largest public university in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And we've been around a little over 40 years here in our location, or in our community, and about 30 years in this building. And, yeah, we're Reformed, Baptistic, and I've been on staff for almost 24 years now. My current role is the executive pastor, and given my own testimony in coming to faith in Christ, the topic that we're talking about today is one that I do meet with people to talk about and help them to see the grace of God in the midst of their situation.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Redeeming Grace Church of Fairfax, Virginia, go to rgcfairfax.org, RGC for Redeeming Grace Church, Fairfax, F-A-I-R-F-A-X.org. Well, this is quite a difficult subject to handle because there are a couple of things that Christians have to keep in balance when ministering to those who have committed such a heinous sin as aborting their children or a child. On the one hand, the very fact that you're ministering to them is because they are acknowledging that they have done something tragically wrong. They are harboring guilt. They are filled with depression. And I'm speaking of the specific people today whom are requesting help in this matter. Obviously, if people are flippant over this or even celebratory over committing these heinous acts, they're not going to be seeking forgiveness from God. They're not going to be trying to alleviate their guilt, etc., because they have no felt guilt. But those that are, especially those in the body of Christ who have committed these sins, we have to treat them with compassion, love, and sensitivity without, on the other hand, undermining the severity of what they have done. Even if it is, of course, a past act, we can't undermine the seriousness of it. We can't sweep it under the rug. And of course, there are going to be different ways when subjects like these are treated, because sometimes you may have an actual member of a church who has already professed Christ, who reveals this to you, something that they have done after perhaps joining the church and becoming a member, because they have made a credible profession of faith, been baptized, etc. So obviously that's going to be a different situation than somebody who has done this in their past, before their rebirth, before their baptism, etc. But tell us about your own personal experience with this subject.
Sure. So I was raised in a nominally religious home, not an evangelical home. And by about middle school, I sort of said, hey, I'm not really going to church anymore. And so I pretty much chose for myself a lifestyle that really tried to acclimate myself to the culture around me, try to be wealthy, try to have as many girlfriends as you can. I lived a very immoral lifestyle through high school and college and post-college. And at one point, when I was in my mid-20s, I was not a Christian, and one of the women that I was dating informed me that she was pregnant with a child, and I was planning to go to grad school a couple months from then, and so I asked her, I said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, well, we're not really going anywhere as a relationship, and I don't want to have a baby now, and so she said she wanted to have an abortion. And in that moment, instead of being honorable and doing the right thing, I was a coward. And I said, hey, well, I'll support you in whatever you want to do. And I pacified myself, thinking that was a kind thing to do. But in reality, I knew in my heart that it was the wrong thing to do, but I was selfish. I didn't want this to interfere with my plans. And so sadly and regrettably, I paid for her to go have the abortion. And in God's kindness, he used that tragic, very tragic moment in my life to reveal to me just how horrible sin is. And by his mercy and grace, I was able to repent of my sins and gave my life to the Lord right in that time period. So God used it for good, but it's an indelible part of my life. It's something that you can't ever take away. Even though I know the forgiveness of God, there's always this deep regret that it took that type of behavior on my part to lead me to Christ. It's very humbling.
Amen. Well, thank God that he did do that. Now, going back to something that I mentioned when introducing the subject, there is a unique severity. Even though all sin that is not covered by the blood of Christ will send a lost person to hell, and they could be, in our minds, very trivial sins. They could be what have been defined as white lies, minor thefts. You know, we could go on and on with the things that we typically will undermine their seriousness, but they're still sins that will send us to hell. But even having said that, there is something uniquely severe, obviously, about the sin of murder. And while ministering to people who have committed murder, both the man and the woman involved in making the decision to have an abortion, which is the murder of a child, and of course not the men are not always involved in these decisions. Sometimes they don't even know about the decision the mother is making. And then, of course, even on top of that, sometimes you have a young girl who is being pressured by her parents to do this because they don't want to experience the embarrassment or even just the inconvenience of raising a grandchild or something to that effect. But don't we always have to keep in mind, when we're reaching out to someone, with the love of Christ, with the compassion of Christ, that this indeed was a very serious crime in the eyes of God.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a severity of it, and typically the people who've been involved in an abortion, they know that. Every once in a while you'll find somebody who is kind of flippant about it, but even people who were not raised in Christian homes, because of the way the Spirit works in our hearts, and just can bring in conviction of sin and just our moral compass that God gives to us, most people, even non-Christians, have some sense of shame, guilt, regret, incredible amounts of just pain for what happened that they live with. And so, yes, it is a very severe and never to be taken lightly, and it obviously needs to be preached about. It needs to be clearly delineated what is and is not acceptable behavior in God's kingdom and for God's children. But because of the severity of it, I think it actually plays into why it's actually not spoken about much in churches. There's kind of this dichotomy of, well, if we say too much about it, we don't want to just be talking about this all the time, and yet because the people are so typically ashamed of what they've done, they don't typically volunteer to share it with anybody. And that's part of the burden that I have, even in speaking with you here today, is there's so much silence about this in the church, and yet if we read the statistics properly, we'd be kidding ourselves to think that abortions haven't been perpetrated by a lot of Christians and a lot of people in churches. And yet if we ask ourselves, hey, when did anybody ever talk about or confess that sin? The answer is virtually never. And I think that's part of the problem.
Wow. Now, how do we know that there are many Christians, and I'm talking about genuine, regenerate people, who have been involved in this sin, because I would think, I guess I could be wrong, when any kind of a survey like this might be taken, even if it's a secretive one, I'd be surprised that there would be honesty involved in this. But tell us, how do we know that there are a considerable number of Christians who have had abortions while they are Christians?
Yeah, I've had the privilege of doing a men's post-abortion Bible study with a gentleman here in our area. He's a well-accomplished professional person. What happened was he was, and this had happened years and years ago, but he had made a profession of faith in Christ, and just due to some circumstances that were going on in his life, he just flat out says, look, I was not a very mature Christian. I didn't, I'm not sure I really understood the ramifications of what I was doing, and I started to believe the lie that what I was doing was actually the right thing, and he was deceived, as all Christians can be deceived. Later on, he realized with great regret and remorse what he had done, and with repentance and a godly sorrow for what he had done. But as he and I have ministered to other men, both inside the church and outside the church, at least in our own anecdotal experience, there definitely are men in the church that have were believing at the time, and there are plenty of them like me who were not Christians, but there definitely are some that are Christians, and I believe they are genuine Christians, but they made a tragic mistake.
And what are, in your experience, the unique ways that men may grieve over this as opposed to women? And perhaps they're very similar. I don't know. Perhaps they are very different. Yeah, if you could just give us some insight into that.
Sure. I think there are, and I appreciate the way you frame that, there are some commonalities, certainly with regards to shame, regret, pain. Obviously, for a woman, there can be the physical pain that a man wouldn't experience. But with regards to regret, I think for men in particular, the sense that our God-given role to protect and to safeguard life and to safeguard those that God has placed around us, I think there's a unique sense of failure that men face when they examine their hearts or come under conviction. That is a pretty weighty aspect of all of this. And I'm sure morally a woman experiences failure too in a moral kind. But the kind of failure that I'm talking about with a man is that deeper sense of just how God has made us as men to be those protectors. And yet, in like my situation, like a coward, I abdicated my responsibility. And so I think a lot of times that's, for me, as I work with men in this situation, that's one of the things I zero in on is, what is their sense of failure in this? Because, you know, many people, they're gonna be fearing God for what they did. There's the shame of acknowledging what they've done to others. Obviously, I've mentioned regret because it's a sin you can't take back, and that's a weighty part of it. But this aspect of not fulfilling our God-given role, I think, is a unique aspect for men that should be explored.
What would be some of the mistakes that you believe Christians may make? They may even commonly make them when trying to minister people in this situation, those that have murdered their children through abortion or a child, and perhaps some things that are not necessarily mistakes, but things that are overlooked when seeking to restore a person to fellowship or to comfort anybody who grieves over their sin. As long as we know that they are repentant, obviously all of us are sinners, and many of us have committed horrible atrocities before our regeneration that we have to put into perspective as being paid for by the blood of Jesus. We are not, as Christians, to remain with a huge load of guilt hanging over our heads and hanging off of our necks for the entirety of our lives. If we are truly convinced that Christ has paid for these sins, and as I said before, at the same time, we don't want to undermine the seriousness of what we or others have done either. So tell us about some mistakes perhaps that are often made and things that are overlooked when trying to reach out to this unique group of people.
Yeah, I think often, and you know, sometimes I'll just wade into my comments here, just mistakes I've made. I think sometimes trying to get too fast in a conversation with somebody who is coming to confess and get help, I think for me, I misjudged how long it can take to get the whole story out. It's sort of like when you deal with some people and they confess their sin, it might take a couple laps around the track to actually get the whole story. And I would find that in this particular sin, especially if they've been harboring it and not confessed it for years or decades, I think a mistake can be to try to accomplish too much in one meeting, and to underestimate how much can be done in 10 meetings. I think so often if we are patient with people and we ask them good questions, I think it just helps them to be able to trust us, to be able to talk more freely about what they're really experiencing and the obstacles that they're facing in their relationship with God and with others as a result of their sin. So I think one mistake is going too fast with people. Probably one of the more significant mistakes is is making sure that, I don't want to say the double negative. A mistake that I've made is to not always give the hope of the gospel every time I meet with the person. They need to be reminded regularly about the hope that they have in Christ, because that's one of the first things that they're tempted to disregard it because they're already feeling guilty. And I'd be speaking about people that are Christians. They just struggle with the condemnation aspect of it. But how could God love me still if I've done this? So I think being very gospel-centered is important, and that can be a big mistake if that's not there. And then things that get overlooked, I think, often are the great friendship that can be developed and fellowship that can be experienced when we come alongside somebody who is suffering, and we realize that this might take a long time. And so I think sometimes we overlook the length of time it's going to need to take to walk with somebody so that they really experience God's healing and forgiveness completely, so that there really is a restoration in their soul for what's happened.
Now, obviously, few things involve cookie-cutter answers, cookie-cutter responses, rehearsed scripts that we use when we minister to people. We obviously want to try to avoid that kind of approach. But at the same time, do you have specific things, specific wording that people listening can use perhaps as a template where they obviously just getting some basic facts underneath them will customize and use what you're saying to approach unique people with their own unique reaction to this sin that they've committed? What would be like a good approach of things, or perhaps specific things to say in specific situations? Because not all of the the actions of abortion have resulted for the same reasons, obviously.
Right.
There are different reasons why people have done this. None of them are justifiable. The only time you could possibly justify a young child getting an abortion is if she's absolutely being forced to by her parents. But I don't even know the legality involved in that kind of a thing. But tell us about some examples of how, with specific wording, people can be approached with this.
Yeah, so I think I frame a lot of my counseling and my interaction with people based on Galatians 6, 1 and 2. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, that includes abortion, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so that frames a lot of the way that I come in and try to first establish, does this person know that I love them? And so I'll generally start off, you were asking for some questions maybe that people could ask, is, I'll start off with, tell me how much of your story you're willing to talk to right now, but you don't have to say more than you feel comfortable saying. That might not seem like a lot, but I think letting that person know that it's okay to go at their own pace, I think, is really important. I'll typically ask them, after they've told me their story, and I've identified with them, and I typically share my story as well, so they know I'm not talking down to them, but I'm talking to them as a forgiven sinner. But then I start to look for, how can I build this relationship where God's Spirit can be at work? And so I'll ask sometimes a very straightforward question, like, what are they actually struggling with right now? And get kind of a picture of, where does it hurt now? And again, this might have been something that happened a year ago. It might have been the last post-abortion group that we had with men. There was a guy that was in there that this had happened 40 years ago, and he had never confessed it to anybody. And so sometimes, I'll start off with what are they struggling with right now, and then I'll typically ask them over time, what have they struggled with? I find those to be very helpful questions to be able to just find out where they are so that I can come alongside them. And then I'm also trying to find out, where do they need just specific words from the Lord to bring them hope and encouragement in the midst of this journey that they're on?
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and obviously a subject like this may lend itself certainly to people wanting to remain anonymous when they ask questions or even perhaps share a part of their story, because it is so painful. They are guilt-ridden over it, and it's so intimately private, obviously. Others may have it as a part of their ministries, and it's already an openly known public part of their lives. But for any reason that it is a personal and private area, or it's an area that involves somebody close to you, we would understand that you'd want to remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, city and state and country of residence. And our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors and more of Pastor Vince Hinders and our discussion on ministering to those who have aborted their babies.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word. and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, We hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, when you give a minimum of $35 to the Historical Bible Society at historicalbiblesociety.org, you'll receive a 44-page book, a beautiful 44-page book that is 9 by 12 inches in dimension. It's very large. That is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Every page contains a genealogy of Christ that has been taken directly, printed directly from a first edition 1611 King James Bible. So the artwork, the old world artwork, is stunning. It looks as if the book is printed, every page is printed on parchment paper, and it is definitely an icebreaker to have out on your coffee table when you have friends, family, and loved ones over, especially if they are not believers, so that they can begin to ask you about this, and you could tell them why the genealogy of Jesus Christ is so very important as to affirming that he is indeed the one promised in the Hebrew Scriptures as the Messiah. So, remember, for $35 or more, to historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org, you will receive this 9-by-12-inch, 44-page book on the genealogies of Jesus. And make sure you tell them that you heard about the Historical Bible Society from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we want to thank Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, the founder of historicalbiblesociety.org, for renewing his advertising contract with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our guest today, Vince Hinders, executive pastor at Redeeming Grace Church in Fairfax, Virginia. We are discussing ministering to those who have aborted their babies, and our email address, if you have questions, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. We have an anonymous listener, Pastor Vince, who wants to know, in keeping with the understanding that babies who have been aborted are indeed real babies, would you suggest that it is completely acceptable for parents going through the grief process of having their baby aborted to even give it a name and to even pray that they will one day be reunited in glory with this child, and other reasons why this may be effective in them going through the grief process in recognition of the fact that this was indeed their child.
Yeah, well, it's first of all, it's a great question. It's a great observation. I had not been familiar with that until probably about 4 years ago when one of the gentlemen that I was leading a group with, at the very last session that we did, we talked with each of the men about had they ever taken a step back to actually give the child a name? Had they ever done that? And I went through the process with the group as an attendee in the group as well, not just a facilitator and leader of it. And for me personally, it was very meaningful because I think in the way that my situation had come down, I was so ashamed of what I had done. I did receive God's forgiveness for it, but I don't think I lingered and really thought about the child as an actual human in that sense. And so giving the child a name was very meaningful to me. I was able to pray for that child by name. And so, yes, I think that can be a very, very healing and helpful circumstance to go through, or not circumstance, but a process to go through for parents.
Now, just out of a theological or biblical question, I don't know if the Bible is this clear on this question, and I actually don't think it is this clear, but are we certain that we are going to meet those whom we love, and in this case, in regard to an aborted child, somebody that we never met, but love as a child, now that it is recognized the wickedness that had been done against the child. Are we guaranteed that we will meet those that we desire meeting in glory? I don't think that the scriptures are very clear about that, but I know that people very often find comfort in the notion of... I know that, for instance, I am very much looking forward, when I am in glory, to seeing my late wife, to seeing my mother, to seeing others that I know are there waiting for me. I know that they are there experiencing indescribable joy with Christ for eternity. And I have that hope and expectation to see them, but I don't know if that is a guarantee that even if I, and I believe I will be in heaven, even if I am there, I don't know if in the considering the situation that there will be billions there, an uncountable number of people there, I don't know if I will see these specific people. But what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think that does get into the deeper theological end of the pool, and I would agree with you. There aren't any explicit texts that would actually say you're guaranteed that you'll see your unborn child, but I think theologically, some theologians will go back to the situation with David and Bathsheba and the child that that died.
Yes.
And that aspect of being able to see that child. So I think this is one of those categories in Scripture where God hasn't revealed exactly how all these things work, and there's a degree of mystery in that, and I think that's where our faith actually has to really find its true source of strength in the character of God. And so at some point, when we don't know for certain from explicit teachings from Scripture, there's an aspect of having to entrust ourselves to a good and loving God to bring the healing that we'll need. I think it can be at times harmful for people to overpromise, not think. I do think it's harmful when people overpromise what Scripture doesn't actually say, because it gives people a certain hope. And while I know it's well-intended, and I'm not questioning at all the people's sincerity or desire to bring care and comfort, but sometimes we overspeak in situations where we try to bring comfort and we actually say beyond what the Scriptures actually allow us to say, and that's not a good practice.
Well, thank you, anonymous listener, and if you are a first-time questioner, send me another email giving me your full name and mailing address, because our first-time questioners always win a free New American Standard Bible. So, obviously, this information will not be disclosed on the air because you requested to be anonymous, so you don't have to worry about that.
Thank you for the excellent question. How in your experience, how uniquely is this sin? Because going back to what I said earlier, it is murder, and you may have very unique ways of Christians coping with this heinous sin that they have committed, just as if they might even be on death row for murdering somebody, or they may just be in prison for murdering somebody, or they may have gotten out of the penalty for such a crime due to a technicality, whatever the case may be. But people who are Christians who have committed murder, and this indeed is murder, what would be some of the unique ways that they are harboring on to grief and guilt in ways that they can legitimately have victory over this without perhaps erasing it completely from their minds and hearts, but have victory where they are not enslaved to the nightmare of what has happened?
Yeah, and this sort of goes back to your previous question about what questions I ask, because as I mentioned, I do try to make sure that the person knows that I love them, I care for them, I want God's good for them. But as I get to know them better and continue to ask some of those questions and avoid just assuming that I know what's going on, I actually spend some time talking to them about what they truly understand about the gospel. Because a lot of times I find out that there's some really faulty thinking in what they actually believed was the gospel. It was either a gospel that was proclaimed to them that was, you know, God is good and God is loving and he'll just forgive all your sins, you know, so that's half a gospel. You know, the reality of, you know, the justice and the judgment of God in those types of gospel presentations is really unhelpful because it's not really the gospel. We have to acknowledge our sin before a holy God. And so a lot of times what I found is that the breakdown of how people get to this situation, one is if they're not a Christian, there's no fear of God, and so there's not sort of a moral compass. But for those who had at least some profession of faith going into it, it's typically we unearthed that they really had some pretty faulty foundations of what they actually believed to be the gospel. And so we spent some time really talking about that, because once they truly get their arms around the gospel and they understand concepts of mercy, mercy being God's goodness to those who are in misery and distress, all of a sudden the glorious nature of the person and work of Christ just starts to become larger and larger in our conversations, so that the power of the gospel starts to become real to such a way that the person really can experience forgiveness from God. Even though the magnitude of their sin is quite large, God is larger.
Amen. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, would you advise that people, in order to find ways of having victory of this enslavement to grief that they may be experiencing over a serious sin like this, that they be involved in a ministry to others who have committed the same sin? I have found this to be helpful in different ways in my life when I know that I am ministering to others who have repented of sins that they have committed, and even lost people who have not yet repented of sins that they have committed that are similar to my own.
Yeah, I think so long as a person is, you know, making some progress and understand, especially with the gospel, I think it can be part of the healing process. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that we are to comfort those with the comfort that we've received from God. And I think that is really part of the wonderful way that God redeems horrible situations. And I know for me personally, just I've been involved in pro-life ministry for over 25 years. And I'm just greatly blessed by the privilege it is to be able to extend grace to others, that same grace that I've received from God, and the same healing and the same care and the love from God to others. I think it's a really important part of the process and something that I would recommend, because those who've been through the trauma of abortion and the guilt and the shame, and we haven't even talked about those specifically with regards to men who maybe their baby was aborted and they didn't know it. That's a whole different type of pain and suffering that goes on.
Well, why don't you delve into that right now? In fact, let me first quickly add for our listener, BB, that I was a drunk. I not only was a drunk before coming to Christ in my mid-20s, but I was a drunk even more tragically after backsliding back into it after 18 years of sobriety as a born-again believer. And became a drunk again, perhaps even in a more scandalous and publicly known way, and a far less expected way since I had a profession of being a Christian. I am haunted by that on occasion. I always have to remember that the blood of Christ has covered this, that I have repented of it. But I have always made it a point to let people know that I am aware of a wonderful Christian rehabilitation ministry for addicts in Boone, North Carolina, Hebron Colony Ministries. And I have so far directed at least three people to that wonderful ministry, both that ministry and their sister organization in South Carolina for women, Grace Home. And all of those folks who I have referred to these ministries have successfully completed the program and are currently sober, and I'm praising God for that. So I know that it has helped me personally enormously. And just to remind our listeners, because I had never stopped singing the praises of this wonderful ministry, you can go to HebronColony.org. HebronColony.org, and pass that information on to everyone you know, especially if you are aware that they are either themselves struggling and battling with this addiction and this sin, or if they have someone in their family, somebody they know, somebody in their church. Many pastors have asked me for this information, but it's HebronColony.org. And I hope that that helps those listening once again. But I think that I, instead of interrupting you mid-sentence, I'm going to go to our midway break right now. And when we return, you can go specifically into the tragedy, the shock, the horror that many men may be experiencing because they have found out after the fact that the biological mother of their children or their child has murdered the child. So we'll have you pick up right on that when we return. If anybody else would like to ask a question or even give a part of their own personal story, whether they do so by identifying themselves or if they do it anonymously, that is fine. But remember, if it's just a general question, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Remember, this is a longer break than normal, so please be patient with us and write down as much of the information provided by as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently patronize them, or at least, at the very least, respond to their ads by saying thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Vince Hinders and our discussion on ministering to those who have aborted their babies. Don't go away.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's G, the number 3, conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Do
getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I want to thank all of you who listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, who have been purchasing many books, the many of you who have been purchasing many books from solid-ground-books.com. I can't even explain, I can't even describe in the English language how much I go through a season of rejoicing every time I hear from Mike Adosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, when he starts to rattle off a very long list of people whom he has never heard from before, who have ordered books from solid-ground-books.com, and specifically mentioned Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as their source for discovering that publishing ministry, and also listeners of ours that keep returning over and over and over again. I just want to thank you so much, because you are helping to keep on the air a very important sponsor of the show. Without their continued financial support through their advertising campaigns, I doubt that we would be able to maintain this program and remain on the air, barring a miracle from God financially. So keep it up, folks. Keep ordering books from solid-ground-books.com. Keep reminding them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you've never ordered from them before, please go to Please go to solid-ground-books.com today and order for the first time. You will not regret it. Remember, you're not going to just be doing yourself a favor. You're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor, and anyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they publish nothing but the finest, the very finest and most biblically sound Christian literature that you can buy, both from the past and the present. At solid-ground-books.com, always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our guest today, Pastor Vince Henders, we have just a couple of very important announcements to make. Folks, if you love this show, we have experienced some hard times financially because largely due to the coronavirus pandemic hysteria that has harmed seriously many people in our audience, including business owners. So we're asking you, folks, since our donations have gone down, we're asking you to help replenish what we have lost. Those of you who have not been harmed too badly by the coronavirus pandemic hysteria. You still have an abundance of money. You still have a lot of money collecting interest in the bank. You have money that you use for all kinds of recreational purposes. Please share some of that with us by going to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also advertise with us. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And you can advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible, at the very least, with what I believe. And we would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. For those of you who prefer mailing in donations by check via snail mail to the United States Postal Service, when you go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support, a physical mailing address will appear on the screen where you can mail your checks made out to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And once again, folks, I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from the regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local churches where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by giving to us and blessing us financially. Don't do that, and don't put your family in further financial peril if you are really struggling to survive financially. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but as I said before, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please help us out as much as you can, as frequently as you can, by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church. I've already helped many people all over the globe find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes' drive from their homes, that they didn't even know existed. Or they knew the churches existed but didn't know that they were theologically sound. I have extensive lists of churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Pastor Vince Henders on our theme today, ministering to those who have aborted their babies. And that email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if you're asking about a personal and private matter. And Vince, you were just about to, before the break, discuss an area that we have not yet delved into today about the trauma, the shock, the horror that many men experience when they find out that a woman, either be their girlfriend, their wife, their one-night stand, however it worked out, where this woman became pregnant from their sexual involvement, they have found out that this woman has murdered their children in the womb without letting them know in advance. In fact, I have a friend, a personal friend. In fact, I interviewed him once on this program, and I won't mention his name because his brother is a very famous worldwide celebrity. But this individual actually found out that his wife had gone to the abortion clinic to have an abortion, and she had not told him that she was doing this beforehand. And I don't even remember how he found out that's where she was going. And he went to the abortion clinic where she was and was arrested because he brought a young child with him. He brought one of their children with him. And he was arrested for endangering the safety of a minor. Can you imagine the irony of that? His wife is murdering one of their children, and he is arrested for endangering the safety of a minor because he brought this child to an abortion clinic and was arrested. But anyway, tell us about that whole genre of ministry where you are helping men deal with the fact that their baby unbeknownst to them initially and without their consent, was murdered.
Yeah, I have not been involved in a lot of these, but enough to have at least a little bit of insight into this, I hope. Obviously it involves a great sin. And I think coming alongside these men and, you know, sort of in accordance with Romans 12, just weeping with those who weep, it's devastating. It's for any parent that's ever lost a child that they know about, it's devastating. To some degree, how much more when you had no idea it was even going on or what was happening? The sense of betrayal, the sense of anger, in some degrees a righteous anger at what happened, but also then an anger that can become a sinful anger in those moments. These are pretty complicated situations for people to go through, because not only are they having to deal with issues relating to grief, and there are great programs out there like Grief Share that help people go through grieving the loss of a loved one, but the unique sense of betrayal, of secrecy, of distrust that goes along with this requires additional care for those who are walking through these times, because there's just so many complicating factors added on when they realize that they didn't even know or have a chance to stop what was happening. It's a very helpless feeling.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's a lot of things that involve ministry to people like that. You obviously may have to minister to them because they are struggling with hatred towards their spouse or whoever the biological mother of the murdered child is. They may be even struggling with thoughts of vengeance or all kinds of things. I mean, this is a really horrible situation that I'm sure occurs more often than we care to admit.
Yeah, and I think, you know, add in another layer, and that is if the man was sinfully in a relationship with this woman sexually, add in his own sin to the complications of the matter, because then there's the guilt and shame, well, if I had never done this, then I wouldn't have been in this situation anyway. So there can be all kinds of guilt and condemnation that they feel personally for what happened. And then you're right, I think you're spot on with regards to the levels of anger, vengeance, wanting justice. All those things are very real, and so walking through issues of forgiveness, of how to even, especially if it's in a marriage situation, coming at this from the perspective of marriage counseling, the trust that's been broken in a situation like that is significant, and it takes a long time. It takes a lot of healing to take place, and this is where good theology is so important, because if we truly believe in a redeeming God, a God who forgives, a God who loves us enough to send his son to die on a cross, and we know that there's power in the gospel, then if we can get people to apply the gospel in their situation, whether the perpetrator of the sin or the one who needs to provide forgiveness in the situation, these are not things that we do in our own strength. It's impossible, in my opinion. I watch people go through this that are not followers, and they're just so angry. They're consumed by it. And really, the only balm for our souls, the only hope that we have is the gospel. And that's what we have to find a gracious way to help them see and grab hold of.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, if a pastor has a daughter who gets an abortion, when should the pastor step down or be removed from his office because he doesn't have his household in order? Is it only if the child is under the roof of that pastor, or are there all circumstances when such a crime is committed? Does the pastor need to step down because he is not living up to the qualifications of having his household in order that are required by those entering into the office of elder?
It's obviously a very grievous situation when this occurs, and so a couple thoughts on this, and that is, One, there's a range of opinions within Bible-believing Christians about how to apply those qualifications for being an elder, being a shepherd. Is it in perpetuity for the lifetime of all of their children, whether they're in the home or not in the home? There are some men that I respect that believe that. I think for me personally, and I'm just giving you my opinion, I think it's more germane to those children who are living under the pastor's roof and where he obviously has control and sway over, because we know theologically that each of those children, as they reach maturity and adulthood, they're responsible for their own actions, and as they move out of the home, there is a degree of responsibility for that. So in terms of how a church handles that, let me throw this out there. Please be careful to make sure that you shepherd the pastor through this, because he and his wife are going to be grieving tremendously. And this is a grandchild that's now gone. They're never going to be able to hold that grandchild. They're never going to be able to love that grandchild and watch it grow up. And I certainly recognize, as a pastor, there are responsibilities that we have. But your pastor's a person, too. He's a brother in Christ, and his wife is a sister in Christ. And coming alongside them in their grief should actually be, I think, the church's first responsibility before all the other questions that have to get answered about, well, is he qualified and shouldn't we do all that? Don't be too quick to overlook the fact that he actually needs this congregation to love him and care for him in the same way that he's been teaching the congregation to love and care for each other. So I think that's a really important part of it. And then I think with regards to the suitability of a pastor remaining in ministry when one of his children has sinned grievously, I think that should be a process that takes a little bit of time, because snap judgments, as we all know, can be fraught with all kinds of problems. And I think a careful evaluation of the suitability for ministry, and again, I'm talking in broad terms because I don't know the specifics of the situation, but I would make sure you involve some other mature church leaders, either from within your own church or some other trusted friends in ministry in your community, to help the congregation come alongside to not only care for this pastor and his wife, but also then to determine what would honor the Lord and God's word and also be a blessing to the church.
We also have an anonymous listener asking a very similar question. The anonymous listener asks, is the sin of abortion always a matter of church discipline if the person commits the sin while a member of a church, especially if they are not repentant?
Yeah, I think the key part is the not repentant. I think, yes, absolutely. This is a grievous sin, and it's not repented of. Absolutely, this is what would move towards church discipline. After many appeals, after faithful proclamation of the gospel, if somebody is hard-heartedly saying that this was not a sin, they're in grievous error. It is a sin, and the Bible is very clear about it. And to live in the without any acknowledgement of that, or repentance of it, or remorse or sorrow over that sin, would definitely lead to church discipline, in my opinion.
Now, if the person is repentant over it, they realize that because this was committed, this act was committed, this crime was committed. I mean, crime, obviously, in the eyes of God, because it is legal, unfortunately, in the eyes of the secular state. But for the person who has committed this act while a member of a church, a professing regenerate believer of a believer in Christ, who is remorseful and repentant over it, however, would this circumstance allow the person to not be brought forward to the church, and for it not to be a public sin, would it be biblically acceptable for the elders not to make this sin public if the person is repentant over it?
Yeah, I think if the person is repentant, it's really important, because I'm not sure that church discipline is the type of thing that we're supposed to go and share other people's sins when they are repentant. Now, if the situation became notorious, in terms of a lot of people in the community knowing about it, then certainly I think the church would be wise, so we're in the wisdom category, to find a venue to be able to explain what happened and to give the person an opportunity to publicly confess their sin and to receive forgiveness from the community. I think there can be situations where that would be advisable. But like with many sins, I think is the purpose of church discipline is ultimately to restore the person to right fellowship through repentance and faith. And so if the person is already repenting and having faith, I'm not sure what the benefit is to the church is to then just publicly proclaim somebody else's sin. I'd have to know probably more details. So that's just sort of a broad brush answer.
And I'm assuming you would agree that there are certain sins that even if the person is repentant, if they are committed by a leader in the church, they may need to be brought to the public. Whereas, like, for instance, I don't know necessarily if someone who commits adultery and has confessed this during a private counseling session with their elders, that sin would need to be made public. But if it was an elder that did this, I think it would be, because it all falls as a part of the qualifications issue of being an elder. I mean, perhaps you disagree. I don't know.
No, I would agree with that. I think it's a privilege to be able to serve as a shepherd in God's church and as under shepherds. And we need to be above reproach. And if we have brought reproach in the way that we've conducted our lives based on the qualifications, but just even based on what it means to be a follower of Christ in such a way that, I think it is important. And I think the church needs to know that, because it's really important for the church to be able to trust its leaders. And if things are hidden and kept secret about the personal lives of the pastors that are, and I'm talking about gross sins like adultery and things like that, not talking about sins that don't have to be or aren't as notorious, but yes, anything significant like that, I think there is a degree where the church would need to be involved, especially if the pastor himself is the one that was committing the sin.
We have another anonymous listener who has a question.
Sure.
Most Christians that I know will treat their friends and neighbors and loved ones who are not Christians, who are pro-abortion and may have even had abortions, in a different light than people that are murderers, even though technically these people are murderers. Why is that, and should we be treating our neighbor, who is someone who is perhaps even an activist for the murder of unborn children, should we be treating them just like our neighbor who is of a different religion, or our neighbor who has different sins in their lives that don't reach the level of scandalous and horrific sins like murder? Obviously, we are not to shun all of our friends, family, and loved ones who are sinners, because then we'd be shunning everybody. But at the same time, there is a unique level of depravity and satanic activity when it comes to murder, and the murder of an unborn child is murder, just as if the child was 5, 6, 7, 8, or 20 years old.
Yeah, it's an important question in terms of how do we engage people who are not regenerate, and when they hold to unbiblical and ungodly perspectives about life, about the world that we live in, about the value and sanctity of human life. It is a dilemma living in this fallen world, and how we treat those people to try to win them to Christ. I think there is certainly an aspect where we're always going to want to be bold in being able to proclaim truth. And yet at the same time, how do we proclaim that in a way that enables them to actually hear the message of the gospel? I'm not saying that I know all the answers on this for sure, because this is very complicated, and I've got members of my extended family who are not Christians and who think very differently than I do on these things. And so trying to balance being able to be a truth teller and yet at the same time trying to persuade them to engage the gospel, to see a different perspective, I am trying to stay in the conversation with them. And yet at the same time, I know that sometimes I just have to be bold and state what I believe to be true.
I guess one thing that we... Oh, I'm sorry, you said, sounded like you were just about to say something.
I was just going to say, I think this is why it really is dependent upon us to be fervent in prayer for those that we're reaching out to. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, because every situation that we face is somewhat nuanced, and we really do need to do these things in obedience to God's commands as He speaks to us through His Word and by His Spirit.
And I want to be careful the way I word this, because I don't want to give anyone the false impression that I'm trying to soften the seriousness, the severity of and wickedness of murdering the unborn. But I'm thinking this through here out loud. Is there a consideration when we are dealing with our neighbors? We obviously would never invite over for a barbecue a person that is a known murderer of an adult, for instance, who is unrepentant, who may be hiding from police, and on, somebody who is a universally accepted murderer, or somebody that is universally viewed as a murderer is a better way of phrasing it. We would never invite somebody like that over our home for a barbecue. But the difference with abortion, even though it is murder, should we consider the fact that the secular authorities and the secular medical realm has done an ingenious job, and of course a satanically ingenious job, of convincing people that this is not murder? I mean, is that one way that gives us a permission, a liberty to invite? If you want to minister to somebody, if you want to evangelize someone, give the gospel to somebody who is a neighbor, and you happen to know this woman is a feminist and she goes to pro-abortion rallies and she may even have run and been elected to office, whatever the case may be, and she's pro-abortion, would it be legitimate to have her in your home for dinner, have her over your backyard for a barbecue, reach out to her as a friendly neighbor, knowing that this may be a part of the reality of their sin, is that they have been duped in one degree to another of the acceptability of this?
Yeah, and again, I'll just tell you my perspective on this, but when I encounter people like that, and there are plenty of them around here in Northern Virginia, you know, it really reminds me of Romans chapter 1, where it says that, look, internally, I know that they should know that there is a God, but they don't honor God or give thanks to Him, because they become futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts are darkened. And I think the enemy of this world, Satan, has put the blinders on a lot of people's eyes, people who are normally rational, reasonable people. When I talk to them about the concept of abortion, they're just like they cannot see it. And so what I have to ask myself is, if the only way that they're ever going to become a Christian is if somebody will share the gospel with them, then I have to ask myself, Lord, how are you going to enable me to share the gospel with them? And so if that means I have to befriend them, and come alongside them and be patient with them so that I can share the gospel, I think that's a really important aspect of this, because if we won't share the gospel with them, if we won't interact with them, then who's going to reach all these people that have been duped by Satan? And yet I think that is actually what we've been called to do, is to reach out to those people who have been blinded by the prince of this world.
In fact, I just remembered somebody who I've interviewed several times, Rosaria Butterfield, before her conversion to Christ, she was well known in her community of upstate New York as being a feminist and a active lesbian and a pro-abortionist and every other thing that immediately comes to mind when we think of those strongly on the left side of things. And she came to Christ because a Presbyterian pastor and his wife continually showed compassion and love to her and invited her over their home for dinner. And she eventually, their love for her crushed her heart, and the Lord used that to bring her to Christ. And she is a very zealous Christian author and apologist, and just a wonderful sister in Christ who openly opposes the sins of homosexuality and every other sin that is championed by the left.
Yeah, I think her story is a wonderful illustration of what I'm trying to communicate, and I would agree with that pastor and his wife that they saw her lostness, they saw her in her blindness to sin and God's creation and God's order, and they viewed that as an opportunity for them to then be the love of Christ in terms of what they shared. And my confidence would be that they didn't have to compromise in their conversations with her about what they believed by saying, oh, it's okay what you believe, because I think that's a mistake too. I think we have to be clear about what we do believe. But I think how we bring those things up and the way that we bring them up in ways that are clear, truthful, and honest doesn't mean that we can't do them with love in our eyes and in our hearts and with hospitality so that we can engage them and enable a friendship to develop so that we can share the gospel with them.
Amen. And we're going to our final break right now. If you have a question, send it in as quickly as possible because we're rapidly running out of time. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, as always, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, if you're asking a general question. But if it is a personal and private matter, feel free to remain anonymous. In fact, we would compel you to remain anonymous if it regards a personal friend, a pastor, or something that none of us have any business exposing publicly in regard to such a personal thing. But that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Vince Henders after these messages.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee.
Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Pastor Vince Henders, please, if you could, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this very important subject today.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I think for me, with regards to how to serve and care for people in the context of the church, I think it's really important that we position our hearts to restore people in a spirit of gentleness. It's a grievous sin. It's a terrible sin of abortion, but there's a lot that's often going on in people's lives that we can come alongside and help make sure that the gospel is what's applied for the solution. And so just being redemptive communities, being unafraid to be able to talk about the hard sins and the difficult sins and the sins that are usually not talked about, but creating churches where it's a safe harbor for people to be able to talk about things like this so that they can receive the forgiveness through the gospel that they so desperately need.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have your contact information, and I think we could even fit a couple more listener questions in. But first of all, just so we don't run out of time without mentioning this, the Redeeming Grace Church website is rgcfairfax.org. RGC, which stands for Redeeming Grace Church, Fairfax for Fairfax, Virginia, fairfax.org. Do you have any other contact information that you care to share that you want to make sure our listeners have?
Sure. If anybody ever has a question, they can contact me at V, as in Vince, Hinders, H-I-N-D-E-R-S, at rgcfairfax.org.
Great. Well, we do have another anonymous listener who wants to know, there are those that grieve even more deeply and battle depression that enslaves them after committing such a horrible act as murdering an unborn child because they have been improperly taught theologically and believe that you can lose your salvation. Can you please minister right now by giving some words of counsel to those who are ministering to these people, and we are trying to convey to them the truth that exists in the perseverance and preservation of the saints?
Yeah, this is where good theology really matters, and bad theology really hurts people. When people have a man-centered view of the gospel and our response to it, it really turns things on its head, especially when you're in the deep end of the pool in situations like this. So my advice and counsel would be make sure that the doctrines of grace are fully understood. If you need help in counseling somebody or helping them through this difficult time, find a good biblical counselor. Contact the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation up in Philadelphia. They typically have contacts with good counselors in people's areas. But get a trained, reformed biblical counselor to come alongside you to help you unravel these issues with people, because once they've applied bad theology to their circumstance, it's difficult to unravel it.
Amen. And let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, do you know of abortionists? I'm talking about the actual doctors who are murdering these children physically, who have come to Christ and repented of their actions publicly.
I don't personally know any. I'm sure there are some, but I don't personally know any.
Yes, I know of Bernard Nathanson is a very famous Christian, I believe, from a Jewish background, who was very much involved in murdering children in the womb. And I say this, I hope that our listeners understand why I'm saying this. I'm rejoiced that he is pro-life and very militantly pro-life and very active in his stance for pro-life and his exposing of the evils and horrors of what abortion is. I'm so delighted and rejoiced in that, but he is Roman Catholic from what I understand, so I have to be very quick to acknowledge publicly that I believe that the Roman Catholic Church, even though there are many people who would identify themselves as Roman Catholics, who are truly brothers and sisters in Christ because they believe in the true gospel in spite of the false gospel taught by Roman Catholicism, at the same time, I have to make it clear that the official dogma of Rome when it comes to the gospel is false, and there is no hope of salvation in the dogmatic teachings of salvation as lined out in the Council of Trent and other places dogmatically in the Church of Rome. But it is at least encouraging to know that there are physicians like Dr. Nathanson who have abandoned murder, because that's obviously a very serious crime. Well, once again, I want to remind our listeners about the website for Redeeming Grace Church in Fairfax, Virginia, where our guest is the pastor, rgcfairfax.org, rgcfairfax.org. Thank you so much for being such an excellent guest again. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.